This episode of Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you by the Moan app. Moan, M-O-N, is a first and only live social audio app for the sex-positive community. Drop into a room and hear live conversations about topics like LGBTQ+ issues, kink, and polyamory, with discussions led by sexologists, doctors, and cultural experts, and everyday enthusiasts. Or initiate your own conversations and discuss your favorite topics around sex in a judgment-free, tolerant, and anonymous forum. You can also join hashtag Hookup Horror Stories rooms and live tapings of this very show, where we will discuss various subjects, play games, and tell stories with other moaners. Download the Moan app, that's M-O-N, on the App Store and Google Play now. See you there.
He said he helped her get into the side of the truck. He said, you can sit in my truck until taxi comes or cab comes or Uber or whatever. He gets in the truck. He said, this is what he says to me. He says, I get in the truck and all of a sudden she starts trying to make out with me. And he says, I pushed her away. And all of a sudden she turns her body around and starts inserting the stick shift in her. Yes. This is at a date, on a date.
I almost did a stick take just now. But the sliding up pussy is a homicide.
But the sliding up pussy is a homicide. It's a homicide.
Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories, the podcast where we spill the tea on sex and dating. I'm Demi Wilde, your resident sexual deviant, and today my extra special guest deviant is author of the book, I Shit You Not, These Stories Are True, A Humorous Look at Online Dating, Catherine Barrow. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good. Catherine, before we get started, can you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I had a career in DC for about 20 years, and I've always been a writer. I was at the State Department, you know, in the Division of Cybersecurity, you know, big time. And I moved back to Colorado to help my parents as they got older, and they're both now passed. But while I've been back to Colorado, I just decided to follow my passion, and I've written a couple books. And this came about after lots of my friends had listened to my crazy dating stories. And during COVID, I just decided I'm going to sit down and write a book. So I am here in Colorado. I have a son who's 29. He lives in New York City. And right now I'm just enjoying this book that I've just written and the crazy stories that have happened since publication. And I ride my horse all the time and just have a really kind of full life. So that's a little bit about me.
I love that. You did mention you had a big job in DC. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, I moved to DC when my son was small. I got divorced. And, you know, as we do in life, not always finding our paths through what we want to do, but what's necessary to survive. So it just kind of I worked for a philanthropist for about 8 years, and she became a U.S. ambassador. Then during that time period, I met a lot of people through the State Department. So when that position was kind of fizzled out, I was burnt out, basically. I took a position at the State Department for a few years in the Division of Cybersecurity. I was a senior tech writer. So I've always been a writer. Right. So then that contract ended, and I just decided at that stage, my parents were getting older and I'd been gone for quite a while, and just decided to head back to Colorado to help. And I'm sure glad that I did, you know, I'm sure glad that I did, because they are both now gone, but I was here, and, you know, it was an important time. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, always taking a step back just to kind of reevaluate where we are in life and to assist those that obviously need us. Our parents are obviously, they're not getting any younger.
That's true.
Taking those moments for ourselves, and it can really kind of change things up in our mind and
right.
Change motivations and stuff.
Absolutely. And I think it's a full circle sort of situation. I was fortunate enough to be able to do it. And, you know, again, unfortunately, my mother died during COVID, and we didn't get to see her the last 6 months of her life. She had a stroke and was put in a facility, and
Wow.
I didn't get to hold her hand, hug her. You know, she passed away without me being there, and it was really tragic. So, but I'm glad I had the time that I did with her and my dad, you know, prior to his death also. So, but yeah, and then you know, you just kind of look at your life and you think, you know what? I need to do the things I really want to do. And you know, not that I haven't done that in my life or my son, I really try to make him aware of the fact that, you know, it's a brief period of time that you're here. So I think their passing really motivated me to say, you know what, I need to get on the stick here and kind of just do some things I really have always wanted to do. So that's why I
Totally.
published my books. So
Exactly. Speaking of your books, your first one here, what was the name of it? I didn't quite write it down. I'm
Oh,
sorry.
it's you mean the dating book?
The
That
poetry
is my
book.
that's my second book. I have a poetry book called Lucid Life. That's just a
Excellent.
collection of poetry I've written since I was a little girl, really, and up into the present day. And then the dating book came about. It's called These Stories Are True, I Shit You Not, a humorous look at online dating for the unsuspecting older human. And over the course of, I want to say, after my son graduated from high school, I really didn't date before that. I was a single mom and I was just overwhelmed. I couldn't deal with it. So I started online dating on based on some of my friends who had great luck with it. And I subsequently went through several years of somewhat insane situations. And my office colleague would listen to my stories and she was constantly saying, Kathy, you've got to write a book. No one's going to believe this. And I said, you know, I don't want anyone to know. I don't, this is mortifying. It's mortifying. And so then during COVID, you know, we were all home, locked down. I would go out and ride my horse because I was socially distanced from everybody. But I just decided to start putting the stories together with the help of my friend because I blocked many of them and she reminded me, unfortunately, on some of them. But so that's how it came together. And I published it last February and it's kind of taken on a life of its own. It's quite interesting. And at some point, you know, we can chat a little bit about my TikTok adventure, my book talk TikTok adventure with this book, because that's been an ongoing adventure as well. So, but the, you know, again, as an older person, you don't think, you know, you think something's wrong with you at certain points, you know, and that's what I felt with, oh my gosh, why is this happening to me? You know, this is ridiculous. And then over the course of time, you know, after publishing this, I can't tell you how many people I could write five sequels, you know, and it's you think your stories are crazy, and then you hear someone else's stories. You're like, oh my God in heaven, what the heck is wrong with us? You know, so and it's people of all ages. So I'll say my age, I'm 59, you know, and I started this when I was 50-ish, kind of, and I kind of gave up on it, you know, but
Right.
you know, I see all these Tinders and Hinges and Bumbles and, you know, Grinders and whatever you have out there. And you know, it's just crazy because it's so different now. But even when I started it, it was even different. So yeah, it's just been an adventure. So
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And that's exactly why I started this too. I mean, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I feel a lot of like connection to you because number one, I am also a poet. I've written two books of poetry myself. And then also Hook Up Horror Stories originally started as a book idea during COVID.
Oh
So
my
I
God.
have like a blog that I've was originally a book idea based on my dating and sexual
Oh,
history
you
and like,
should do it. You should totally do it. And you know, I self-published
yeah.
because you know, you can wait and wait and wait and do all the whole rigmarole with the, you know, literary agent and all that kind of stuff. But I thought, you know what? I have the means to do it. And I honestly, my motivation is not to make $1 million. Although I did send a couple of the books to Amy Poehler's production company the other day because I thought, oh my God, this would be such a funny movie. But you know, it's just you want to do something, I say do it because your experiences are completely different than mine.
Right.
But I might do a sequel based on the stuff I've heard from on my TikTok page. But yeah, I just decided to do it because you know, I had an editor and I had an online publishing consultant, and you know, we went live on Amazon in February. And I'm hit number one in three humor categories at one point, you know, for a week or something like that, because I released it right before Valentine's Day. So I was
Yeah.
on the radio in Denver a bunch of times, and I've done a lot of podcasts. But I think my biggest thing is like, just like you want to connect with people because A, I think the thing I've really learned about this is you are not alone in this nuttiness. Now, granted, the people I went on dates with might say that I was the nutty one, right? But I just think that's such a common, weird, modern day phenomenon that people are just out of their wacky minds. You know, the way they act, the way they talk, what they talk about, what they don't talk about. And yeah, so I say do it. I think there's a market for it. I think that it's funny. And that was my goal is just, you know, during COVID, it's like, okay, laugh at my expense. I don't care. You know, here's my stories. And they're not all mine. Some of them are from the men I dated that told me their stories, you know. Yeah, it's never ending. And I stopped. I just got so exhausted from it. The dating, online dating,
Oh yeah.
because especially as an older person, you know, you have men who are married once, twice, three times. They have a 35-year-old and a 2-year-old from a rebound marriage. Or, you know, it's we all have this, you have a massive more amount of baggage at this stage. So, you know, so, but I say do it. I say just go do it because if it's funny too, I mean, you know, it makes you really feel like you're connected with other people. And I think that's what I have learned from other women and men is that, oh my gosh, you know, you can't believe that this stuff happens, but it does. So.
Yeah, that's also why I started the podcast because I've
Yeah.
had this idea for a long time too, and so I launched it Valentine's Day of this year.
Oh, you did.
As we're recording that, a lot of like synchronicities right here.
It is definitely.
But
That's
yeah,
funny.
as of we're recording this today, it's October 14th. So like, this was literally February 14th of this year that I released
Yep.
this the first episode of this.
Well, virtual high
Virtual
five.
high five, exactly. Yeah. So I have a lot of connection to you and like your story and like how you went about with this. You know, I find it just really fascinating and stuff. But I did want to talk a little bit more about the poetry aspect of this because I don't get to
Okay.
talk a whole lot about poetry a whole lot. I've used it a lot in my life about kind of like, you know, kind of dealing with the issues that I'm coming up with or coming up with like emotional stuff. The first one that I wrote had a lot of stuff. Yes, I had written when I was like very young, but then the second one came out, it was like it took no time at all. Like
Wow.
why poetry? Why do we do this, do you
You
think?
know, that's a very good question. And actually, I belong to this website called helpareporter.com. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Totally check it out because if you're also a writer, basically you can sign up for whatever topics you're interested in as a writer, and they'll send you an email every day with reporters who are trying to write articles and they query, like, you know. So I do quite a few of those with a online magazine called Upjourney, and I just did one about poetry and why poetry is important. And I think when I was a young girl, you know, you know, we all have our emotional drama when we're little and when my family had their situations and whatever. But I started reading Emily Dickinson, you know, and I thought, oh, because it's lyrical. And I thought, I can do that. Right. So I remember in sixth grade, I wrote a poetry thing for a sixth grade teacher. And she wrote a note back to my parents saying, she plagiarized this. There's no way she could have written this herself. And I'm like, well, because I love words. And I believe that if you are eloquent in the way you present it. I mean, wake up in the middle of the night and I write a poem and I don't even know where it comes from, but I just write. So that's just part of who I am. And I think that started at a very young age is what my way to express myself. And, you know, some of them are a little more juvenile in their, you know, stanzas and things like that. But I literally, you know, I write poems for my friends for gifts and they always cry when they read them because, but I think it's just like a way to express yourself. And if it comes easily like that to you, then you're a natural. I mean, it's just your brain is working in an eloquent manner to express itself. And I think that poetry. Now, here's the thing. I don't personally like poetry that you can't understand what the heck it means. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's so many poets that write these vague stanzas and you're like, well, what the hell did that mean? And you're trying to figure it out, like what is he saying, you know? And I appreciate flowing poetry, not necessarily, you know, lyrical or rhyming poetry, but something that you can really see a picture of what they're saying. And so yeah, I that was here. I'll show you. This is my first one. It's probably backwards, but this cover was actually a watercolor my son did when he was 3 years old on the at the kitchen table, and I just turned it sideways and I made the cover. It's called Lucid Life, and I've had that idea for years, and I've just collected my poetry and I self-published that as well. Yeah. So, and again, you know, I don't think we as writers and poets do it to make $1 million. We do it as an expression. And I think that's the same with my other book. It's like, I just wanted people to relate. Like, you are not alone in this nuttiness, you know? But yeah, poetry, I think, is just a beautiful part of our world. And, you know, I ride my horse a lot, like I said. So that's my church, going into the woods with my horse. And it, to me, that's poetry, you know, just getting out of this crazy technologically connected nuttiness we're in. But I think I mean, it's amazing, and I think I would love to, you'll have to let me know the names of your books because I want to get them after we talk.
I'll self-plug right here.
Plug them, yes.
So this is the first one that I wrote. It's probably backwards.
Your book is, it looks kind of like this is kind of strange. We got something going on here.
It's got a new cover now. This is a totally different, this is the original
but
cover.
Look at how, look at this.
Yeah, I know.
What's going on here?
This was called Bitter Blue Pill, Poems of Fantasy and Longing. So yeah, there's stuff in here that I wrote around 2018. There's stuff that I wrote when I was like 16. So there's, you know, a lot, but I just didn't know what to do with it for a long time. Right. So I just basically like, you know what, I'm just going to compile it,
and
put it together. And then I didn't realize how quickly just doing this made this one.
Oh.
And this one's thicker than that one is.
Yeah.
This is All Was Nothing in the Time of Champions. This is a cover that my friend did, I commissioned for. It's kind of like has this whole vibe of mind, body, and spirit. So like I wanted the Da Vinci Venusian man on there, kind of like represented in kind of a different way.
Yeah.
But yeah, this thing took like maybe a year to make. It wasn't even like that long at all.
So do you go to poetry seminars and things like that to speak about your book or anything?
I'm very nervous about reading my poetry.
I know. I cry. Every time I read mine, I cry. I'm like, okay, that's not the whole intent.
I know.
Because they make you emotional, right? They're your personal feelings. And then I start reading it and I was like, oh my God, really? So yeah, I sometimes have my friends read them for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do go to slams. I do occasionally go when I make it out. I do go, but I rarely do I ever read. It's quite shocking if I do, because it's just a very personal thing. And and I love listening to other people do their thing though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shifting gears back a little bit to dating here, I wanted to just gush about poetry here for a few minutes.
Oh, sure. That's amazing.
So my mom's been online dating for a while now.
How old is your mom?
She is 67.
Okay.
She's had very little success. But how did you get into it? What were your sites or apps that you used? And is online dating dead?
Well, I want to talk to you about your mom, because that's part of my TikTok journey. About a video I posted about one of my chapters about a dating scammer. So I really want to go back to that. But I was divorced when my son was 6, and he kind of left the picture. And so I was really a single mom. I mean, I was a single mom and single dad. And I always told my son, I'm a great mom, but I'm a crappy dad. I don't know how to do that. I just don't know how to do that. So we had a lot of tension and drama and punching holes through the wall. And his, you know, he went through just a lot of anger and issues that, you know, I had to help him through. So I just didn't have the mental and emotional energy for dating at that point. And then on top of that, a man that I was sort of seeing that was a neighbor of ours, who I would have married in 2 seconds, we probably would have been. He had 2 young daughters the same age as my son. He passed away from cancer. So we had, on top of all the stuff with his dad leaving, then we had that. So long story short, I didn't start dating till literally he left for college in New York. And we were living in Northern Virginia at this time. And you know, 3 of my friends have been married using online stuff. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just try this. And they helped me do the profile and all that. And one of the funny parts of my introduction in my book is, you know, I was so excited and I put this thing on I think it was match.com, the first one I tried. And I put this picture of myself. I was on a cruise, you know, and I had my sundress on. I'm standing by the rail and I have a little cleavage and all this. And the first comment I get from a guy was, nice jugs. And that's it. I was like, what the hell, you know? So I was like, I didn't even know how to react because at that point, this I was completely new to this whole thing, and I was like, wow, this is bizarre, you know? So I just kept plugging away and went on a lot of dates, and you know, it's just a weird experience. So that's what got me started in it. It's just because I, you know, I'm living in DC, and again, I was working for a U.S. ambassador philanthropist. So and I would, you know, I've met, I'm not tooting my horn, but I met three presidents. I mean, I had a fancy life, you know, so it wasn't like I was looking for some Joe Schmo, you know, I was looking for someone who could go to events with me. I used to wear ball gowns. Now I ride a horse, which is kind of funny, but you know, you just look for someone that can be part of your life and you and theirs. And it just turned into just a series of ridiculousness. And I think at that point too, you know, I have several chapters in there about the unsolicited pictures they send, and you know, just a lot of autonomous sort of weird vibe, you know. And I did go on a lot of dates, but you know, nothing really ever panned out. I did, I mean, not all of them were bad, but nothing ever turned into marriage or serious, you know. So that's how I got started in it. And then just kind of went off and on, tried different sites. And the one site I paid the most, I don't know if I should say it, but it was eHarmony, because I thought, oh, you know, my cousin said to me, you
That's
know,
been
the
around a
more
long
you
time.
pay, the yeah, my cousin said, the more you pay, you know, the men will be much more, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that was the worst date I ever went on. So you can't always, you know, you don't always get what you pay for. So
Exactly.
anyway, so that's how that all started.
Do you think online dating's dead? Because I think it's dead.
Well, here's a funny thing. So I was talking to someone the other day, and my friend's older than me, so she's like in her mid-60s, and she here's where it's gone from. My friend met her husband when she was riding the train one day in DC, had a newspaper, saw a personal ad. This is back in the day, right? Like I'm saying, probably I don't even know when that would have been, 80s. And she said she tore it out. She had to write a letter, you know, put a stamp on an envelope, go to the mailbox, put it in the mailbox, wait for the man to possibly respond, which he did with his phone number, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's that was the effort that took, right? So, and now they're married and it worked out well. But now, you know, you get on there and literally you just swipe, 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 just based on what they look like.
There's no
You know,
effort,
you don't even have a phone call. Young people don't even call on the phone anymore, you know? So, and a lot of the men I dated weren't phone callers, they were just texters. I'm like, you know, I'm not, I just want to hear your voice. I want to hear the inflection in your voice. I want to talk. So I don't know if it's dead as much as it is. I think it's just become, I mean, I think there are some that, you know, I have friends who go to other countries on travel and they get on Tinder and they meet people just for, you know, touring around the country or Italy or whatever. But I just think it's become such a hookup society that it's kind of sad. And, even men in my age range, you know, they just, you know, NSA, no strings attached. And it's like, yeah, well, you know, at this age, you're not really able to do much in that regard. I mean, you know, most of them or some of them, but it's just, I think it's become so impersonal that it's not personal, you know, it's, I have just given up on it altogether. And of course, now my friends say, well, you know, if you ever do it again, any man that you date is going to know that they might be your next chapter and your sequel. So, you know, I don't know if I'll do it again, but I don't know if it's dead as much as it just needs to change somehow, you know. Although I have to say too, somebody also mentioned to me, you've probably seen it on YouTube or I don't know, you can see it in different places. These in the 80s, I think it started with men would do and women would do the video. The dating videos where they'd sit in the studio. Hi, I'm Bob, and I like to walk on the beach. And oh my God. So, you know, it's evolved into something that I just don't know how you could really ever get to know somebody through it. But I think, you know, I just think people are just in the ghosting situation and all that, you know, it's just weird. So, what about you? Do you think it's dead?
I definitely think it's dead.
Yeah.
Any of the times I've ever been on there, it's just, you know, conversations might start, but then they'll write end and you'll never hear from that person again. Or people will just like come back after like a long time and be like, oh, hey, sorry, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's just not, there's nothing really to keep people around. There's nothing really to keep people interacted with you.
Right.
And so it's just, it creates a lot of problems, especially like for me, like being a person who kind of wants a connection with someone, who wants to kind of, you know, be with someone, to have that connection, it creates a lot of like mental problems. I think, you know, I've suffered a lot from like depression, feelings of inadequacy, just like your stuff like that. It just comes with a whole lot of baggage, I think.
And you know, it's what's sad too. I think after COVID, I think we were also isolated, that it probably became more of a thing people did, because right. just like TikTok, you know, that we wanted to connect, we wanted to be, you know, laughing, smiling, you know, watching people do funny dances, that sort of thing. But I think COVID really changed. I mean, I knew people who went on COVID picnics, you know, they had their masks and they sat at the other end of the picnic table. I'm like, well, I'm not that desperate. I don't really want to meet right. somebody in the middle of a pandemic. But I just think, you know, it's autonomous. I think that's the word I always go back to, is just, you can treat people like crap, excuse mm-hmm. my language, and not have any repercussions for it. You know, you don't have to talk to them on the phone. You have to look them in the eye. And that's really sad for me to hear that about you, what you've been through, because it does. And that's what I'm saying. I honestly thought something was wrong with me. I thought, oh my God, like, what is going on that I, you know, I mean, I'm a pretty nice person. I think I'm all right looking. I have a great job. I'm independent. You know, I'm financially stable. You know, it's like, am I like attracting these weird people? And I just think that so many people have lost the ability to be in contact and socialize at a certain level. And I don't know if it has to do with our phones, or I don't really know. Are you drinking Fresca?
I am. Yeah.
I love Fresca. Wow. Okay. That's another thing. Anyway. I don't know. I really haven't looked into any of the new ones, really. I think a couple of my friends tried Bumble and Hinge, but,
Hinge, yeah. I feel like, is the best of all of them. However, the same types of situations pertain, you know. It's,
did you say Hinge?
Yeah.
You think Hinge is okay?
It's the best kind of like interactively, and I think it's also like the best kind of like user friendly type.
Okay.
It's just you run up with a lot of the same kind of issues. Less so, I think people are more interested in meeting and long term and stuff like that on that particular app.
Okay.
It's just the same kind of stuff happens, though. Yeah. It's all I can really explain it as.
Well, you know, I also tend to date younger men, but one of the interesting comments somebody made to me, two comments. One was, a man said, we don't know how to treat women anymore. We don't know, you know, we get yelled at if we open the door, we get yelled at if we don't open the door. And then another man told me, you know, there are like men on there who, it's a weird analogy, but women, the younger men want to date the older women because they don't want to have babies and get, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the older men want to date the younger women because they want the ego boost. Right.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, this is so bizarre. Like, where are we right now? You know? And I don't know. I kind of lost my enthusiasm, shall we say, but, right. Yeah, but it's pivoted into an interesting conversation for me. Do you want me to tell you about the TikTok thing?
I was just going to ask, actually, okay. Before we get into the story, I want to hear about your TikTok.
Okay, so literally, my friend convinced me to write the book. She's mm-hmm. She should have been a publicist. She's so funny. She, you know, she's like, you got to do this. You got to. She lives in LA and she has her own company. But then about 2 weeks after I published it, she said, have you heard of BookTok? And I said, no. I said, what is that? She said, well, you know, TikTok. And I said, well, I've heard of TikTok because during COVID, you know, all the dances and all that stuff. And she says, well, you should get on there and look at it, because it's literally this whole culture on TikTok that is basically a place where you can passively market your books by doing videos and telling people about your book. And, you know, there's little videos, you know, you can do that. You flip the pages and then you show the cover and you put music behind it. And they offer all the tools to do it on the app, you know. Yeah. And of course, she says, you know, it's the Chinese and they probably have all our information anyway. So don't, I'm like, whatever, you know, I don't really worry about that. So, but anyway, she taught me a little bit about it. And then I went on there and I post like 3 or 4 TikToks a day. And I think one of my goals is to like build an audience of people in my age range. You know, everyone says it's for younger people, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people over 50 on TikTok, and some of them are goofy, but my whole goal is to talk about my book and my poetry book, but also engage with people in my age range to say, look, it's not over till it's over, right? I mean, you can do whatever you want at this stage in your life, you know? And what happened with that is I posted, you know, I was kind of not good at it. I mean, I'm all right. I don't do anything fancy, but, you know, little hellos and this and that. And I show my book and talk about the chapters and everything. And the one chapter in my book is about a dating guy, a scammer who tried to scam me. And I caught him really early in the game. But the TikTok video is just me, my face, and I'm looking back and forth like this. And I have some ominous music in the background. And I have text over my face that says, when a man on an online dating app says he's a military guy and he's stationed in Afghanistan and he just finished training and he's going to take a nice warm bath. So basically that's what the guy said to me. And I was like, what? No one in Afghanistan, you know, so you just, you,
it's a bath. Yeah.
You know, it was like, are you kidding me? So anyway, I posted that video and I almost have 1 million views on that video. And I have, I say 30,000 likes and about 6,000 comments.
Wow.
Because it's crazy. But regarding your mom, so what I found on there, and I just literally copied and pasted all of the comments because I might do a sequel based on this facet of the whole situation. And that is A, how many women have had the same script that the, I mean, these guys are, they use the same script. You know, I'm a military guy. I'm stationed on a boat. I have, my wife left me for my best friend, or my wife died in a tragic accident and my parents are taking care of them. And we just got, you know, hijacked by pirates, but can you send me some iTunes cards? You know, I mean, and it's just, it's funny, but it's not. And, you know, one of the women said to me, she had so many of the same thing that she finally said to one of these, you know, scammers, she said, you know, you guys should really start a support group because so many of you have lost your wives in tragic accidents because it's like the same script, right? But what is sad about it, and what I'm really shocked at, is how many women, I want to say they're probably mid 60s and above, and some of them aren't, have lost tens of thousands of dollars. Now you see this all the time, like on Dateline and all these, yeah, you know, but they never met the guy. They convinced them they're someone they're not. And now the guy that tried to scam me, I found out he was using pictures that he stole from a, well, he didn't steal because everything on the internet is, but he took them from a military obituary site. So it was like 10 pictures of this guy who he claimed he was in the military, you know, and I thought, oh, he's cute. And then I started talking to him. I'm like, his grammar was off and he, you know, he fell in love with me right away. And the way I figured it out is he had written me this sonnet and I recognized the poetry, right?
Yeah.
I Googled it and sure enough, it came to, you know, it was a Middle Eastern poem. And then two lines below it, Demi, was a line that said, Nigerian scammers using poems to lure women in. I was like, holy crap. So then I started playing him, you know, and he ended up, you know, blocking me because I caught him, but there's no way, nothing you can do about it. But I'm just shocked at how many women have responded on my TikTok that they have lost money, that they have been scammed, that they, you know, and I think the problem with it is just like the dating sites, which, like you're saying, we're good people. You know, we expect good people in our lives. And these women are trusting. They're older. They might be widowed. You know, they have money. They're retired or whatever. And these guys just, they lure them in. And, you know, so that, tell your mom to be really careful. I have a friend right now. I think she said her father-in-law, they just realized he's sending a bunch of money to some Russian woman. And, you know, they were looking at his estate and all of a sudden it's like, where'd all that money go? You know, so gotta be really careful. So that, but the TikTok thing has been a blast. I'm having so much fun and just met a lot of really neat people on there. So that to me has been really, and I sell books, you know, I use hashtags, you know, that's how you, I guess it, the algorithm somehow, I don't even know how it works, but, and I don't really care. Again, I got on there to engage with people. I don't expect to make $1 million, but it sure is nice to connect with people and have them say, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one, you know, and they're not. So
Right.
I think there's really a market for your book. So I say, yes, do
Absolutely.
it.
I'm already on there. I do kind of a news site called Cosmic News on there, where I basically just take like a bunch of like weird news or tech or paranormal stuff, and I just kind of spin it into like a news story. So that's kind of what I do, but I would definitely want to check that out, and I definitely want to like tap into that a little
So
bit
you just
more.
use the hashtag book talk too, and you know, I use book talk, authors of TikTok, author talk, you know, self-published author. I just kind of try to, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm having fun. And you know, my son's like, damn, mom, you're like an influence. I said, and I honestly, since February, I think I have 6,200 followers. And of course, maybe some of them are bots, right? Because I don't even know. But so yeah, but I've met a lot of really great people on there. And I think, you know, that's how we just have to stay connected as a, you know, writers and people in general. I think
Yeah, definitely.
letting people know they're not alone.
Definitely. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Catherine, you're going to tell us a quick story. This episode of Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you by Spaces, the new chat-based app for queer people to connect about things they are most passionate about. Join a space and chat about your favorite topics, or create a space of your own, invite friends, and find community about pretty much anything, all in a safe, LGBT-friendly environment powered by Hornet. Look for Spaces in the App Store now and join the official Hookup Horror Stories chat. Check the link in our bio to find out more. Thanks. Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you today by Good Pods, the world's fastest growing podcast social networking app. What's the best way to discover a new podcast? Through your friends, of course. With Good Pods, you can do exactly that. Join specific groups and find out what other people are listening to right now. Everything from true crime to comedy, self-help and spirituality, and yes, even this show. Download Good Pods today and start sharing your faves with other podcast addicts everywhere. See you there. And we're back. Catherine, I know you have a story for us. Or maybe a couple, maybe you got two.
I think, you know, I thought about which one I should tell you because the worst one that happened to me is kind of raunchy. But I can
Don't
tell
veer
you
away
that
from that
one.
here.
Okay. So, and this is based on what I told you about the most expensive website, you know, Match or Match wasn't it? It was a eHarmony. And my cousin had convinced me to go on eHarmony. So I met this guy and he was younger. He had two kids and he was a director of some high-level guy at a IT company. So he had a great job, you know. And he was seemed really nice and normal. However, he so when I saw his picture, you know, this is going to sound really weird, but you know when people lose a lot of weight on those stomach band things, sometimes they look a little doughy and stuff, but before they get in shape and stuff after they've lost the weight. And I thought, oh, that's what he kind of looks like. And sure enough, when I met him, you know, he got out of his truck and he's in this boot, like a surgical boot kind of thing. And he had told me that in text prior to me getting to dinner. He said, hey, I just had the surgery on my Achilles tendon. Don't worry. And I said, oh, it's Colorado. Everyone has a something on because they're Uber athletes here, you know.
Right.
So he gets out of the car, we go inside. So he had not told me what happened to his foot. So literally we sit down to dinner, and this is a Mexican restaurant. So you know, you got the chips and salsa and all this. He starts telling me that in very graphic terms what happened to his foot, which included some sort of ulcer. I mean, it was like he said he was doing ex he got home to his house, his roommate was really heavy and lived above him, and she was doing P90X exercises, and one of his pictures fell off the wall, and the shard of glass when he came home from work, he had taken his shoes off at the front door and he stepped on it and slid into his foot. And I was like, okay, we're at dinner, we're okay, this is like in the first 5 minutes. Okay,
Oh,
so
God.
I know. So then I thought, okay, that's disgusting. And so anyway, he continues to tell me about this foot and how you know, it just got infected and he had to go to the emergency room and this and that and the other. And I thought, oh my God in heaven. So anyway, proceeded to tell me not only about the foot, proceeded to tell me that his wife had left him and he didn't know where she went with his two kids for a while. I'm like, okay, that's a red flag. You
That's
know,
a
like
huge
she
red
just
flag.
disappeared for 2 months. So that all resolved. And then he told me about while he was gone one day from work, he came home. And so this is the you know, we got the foot story, we got the wife story, and then we move on to the story of him getting his apartment He had a burglar, as he called it, that went into, he had a detached garage or something like that, because he lost his dream house because he got divorced and all this. And of course, none of this I knew before I met him. And you can talk as much as you want on the phone, but people tell you only so much, right? So he tells me that someone burglarized his garage, in which he had $18,000. He was very specific, $18,000 worth of hunting equipment and everything stolen from his garage. I'm like, oh God, this guy's like a Debbie Downer. I don't even know what to call. Anyway, then
a lot of information in the first like 5 minutes of meeting.
Well, and then of course I'm getting the chips and salsa, and then I get shrimp with beans and rice, and I'm eating, the beans and the rice. And he starts talking about, this divorce was so hard, and his kids would come visit him. And one day they came and they couldn't get the cat from out under the bed. So he went in and he said, yeah, and I look under the bed, and the cat, this is gross, but he said the cat's like regurgitating some black and foul stuff out of his mouth. And I'm eating black beans and rice. I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? So
am I on a TV show?
At 1:02, I had ordered a margarita. And when he's telling these stories, I lift up the margarita, and no kidding, there was a hair on the lime of the margarita. And I was like, this is like the word, this is like the date from hell, So I ordered another one. But anyway, so he's talking about the cat, regurgitating this black stuff. And then he said they had to bring the cat to the vet and put the cat down. But he realized that what had happened was the burglar who got in his house must have kicked the cat, because the vet asked him if he kicked the cat, because every bone in the cat's body was broken. And I was like, at what point in life do you talk about this stuff at a dinner? So anyway, I was just like, I'm sitting there thinking, I just need to like go to the bathroom and not come back, kind of thing. But then he continues, we have dinner. He's eating like so much food. And I thought, he just told me he had this weight loss surgery. And I'm like, how are you doing that? Because I know friends who've had it, they can't eat much food. And
my mom had it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. They can eat like a little bit. My one friend had it, and she sneezes every time she eats too much. So anyway, so then he proceeds, and I was at the end of my rope pretty much at this time, but here's the clincher. We start talking about, and of course I didn't get much talking in. He was telling me, and again, some people on dates, they just do, they talk and they talk because they're nervous, right?
They regurgitate trauma or something, like some sort of therapist. I'm your
therapist. This will cost you $500 at the end of it. But then he proceeds, we talk a little bit about previous dating, and he talks about the fact that the last couple of people he went on dates with was, one lady was, former Miss Colorado, and she was getting $13,000 a month in alimony, but she drank, like every time you'd go out to dinner with her, she'd literally drink two bottles of wine by herself. And I'm thinking, and here I am at this little Mexican restaurant that's probably going to cost you $50. I was, anyway. So then here's the clincher. So the clincher was that he said the last woman he went on a date with, she asked him to pick her up. And he said, I never did that. But, she insisted. So I picked her up and get to the restaurant. She admitted, oh, the reason that you had to pick me up is because I have this thing on my steering wheel that I have to blow into, because I had, you know what I'm saying? So she couldn't drive. So he's at dinner with this woman, and she proceeds. He tells me she had 10 rum and cokes. And I said, well, at 4 or 3, wouldn't you have just said that's enough? And he said, no, I just decided I was going to, where we're going to go. So he said, he went to the bathroom. He told her, I'll get you a cab. I'm going to go to the restroom. I'll get the check, and I'll wait for the cab to pick you up. Cause he said, I'm done with this. Right. Goes to the bathroom, comes back, and the waiter is standing there. And he said, do you have the check? And the waiter says, well, sir, I'm happy to give you the check once your date puts back all the things she just stole off the table. Like she stole the salt and pepper, the knives and forks, and she put them in her purse. So she takes them out. She's drunk as a skunk, and he pays the bill, and they proceed outside. And this is the most horrible, mortifying story. So prepare yourself, because it's really mortifying to me anyway. So they proceed outside. He said he helped her get into the side of the truck. He said, you can sit in my truck until taxi comes or cab comes or Uber or whatever. He gets in the truck. He said, this is what he says to me. He says, I get in the truck, and all of a sudden she starts trying to make out with me. And he says, I pushed her away, and all of a sudden she turns her body around and starts inserting the stick shift in her. Yes, this is on a date with me.
I almost did a spick take just now,
and I looked at him and I said, what? And he said, yeah. And then I, on the way home after she got out, I had to stop by 7-Eleven and get a, some wipes or what. I'm like, I literally was so, I literally stopped what I was doing. I stood up and I got my purse. I said, I'm leaving.
I gotta go.
This is the most mortifying, disgusting date I have ever been on. I said, in what world do you think it's even okay to talk about any of the stuff that you've been talking to me about? I said, it's just bizarre to me that anybody would think that it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it was so abnormal. And so that I got in the car, called my brother, and I was crying. And I said, I'm not made for this world. I said, people are so weird. I said, first of all, and I told him a little bit, I said, what man would date him, what, you know, be at dinner with a woman who has 10 rum and cokes? And second of all, what would he be doing with a younger woman who, you know what I'm saying? Like, what, the woman herself, like, what about her? Like, who is she that she would behave that way? So anyway, yeah, I drove home. He told me a funny joke. I cried. And, you know, it was literally the worst date I've been on. Yeah. It was mortifying. And I thought, that's why I told my friend, I don't want anybody to know these stories because it's mortifying. You know, it's, you can't believe it. And that's why I say these stories are true. I shit you not, because it's a true story. And, you know, but some of them are, you know, like, I'll tell you one more real quick, but a guy told me, I dated him off and on, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and we got together, and he said, oh yeah, well, we weren't seeing each other. Started dating a pharmacist, and he said, and he was a professor at a university. He said, she had been married 3 times and had three kids. I don't even know. And I said, red flag. You know, anyway, so they were dating for like 4 or 5 months. He thought they were monogamous. He said he went over to her house one day to surprise her. You know, hello, I'm here. I knew you were off. Let's go have lunch. She opens the door and she's in a cheerleading outfit. And he's like, what the hell? He had no idea what was going on. He said, what's going on? She goes, she was in there having a threesome with 2 of her ex-husbands. And you can't make this, you cannot make it up. You cannot make it up.
In a cheerleading outfit?
And that's what I said to him. I said, well, they didn't invite you in? He said, no. And I said, and she was in a cheerleading outfit? And he said, well, part of one, you know. And I was like, oh my God. So it's not just women this happens to. I mean, the men deal with a lot of crazy stuff too. So, you know, that's just a couple of the stories in my book, but I mean, there are so many, and I'm sure you have them too. You know, it's just, you have to have a sense of humor though. If you don't, you'll go nuts, you know, you really will. So
what's the moral, Catherine? What have we learned?
You know, here's the deal. I think we're all imperfect humans, right? We're all imperfect humans. And I think we're all trying to connect with somebody, trying to find somebody. And at the end of the book, I say, you know, I'm going to be patient. I'm not rushing. I'm just waiting for someone who is, you know, who I, you know, want to be with, and I will, you know, compromise and help him unpack his lifelong, you know, set of baggage while he oh so patiently helps me unpack mine, you know, because I don't know what the moral is. I just think you have to have a sense of humor. And you have to give some people some grace because, you know, some people are really jerks, but some people I think are nervous. They don't know what they're doing. A lot of people have been married and they, you know, they've not dated in a long time in my situation, but I just think we have to give people grace. And I think we have to just have a sense of humor and know that you're not alone in the nuttiness, you know, because life is crazy. But I think it is funny. It's funny. But it's also just a really interesting study in the human condition. You know, we are all trying our best. And I think we just have to give people a little bit of a break, but just know what you want too. Know what you want and don't settle. And being alone is not a bad thing. You know,
right.
Find people that enhance your life. And I think you'll be okay.
Reality is stranger than fiction, man.
It is so true. That is so, so true.
Before I let you go, do we have time for a quick game?
Oh, sure.
So this is something that I've been doing for season 2. It's a quick game. I just got 5 red flags for you. Just tell me if they're red flags to you or not.
Okay.
All right. Red flag number 1, they only have a flip phone.
Yeah. Kind of. Yes, that's a red flag. Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, I just found two of my sons. He's 30, and I just found two of my son's old flip phones. I said, and his old his initial Game Boy. And I thought, oh my God, this stuff's worth a fortune, you know? But no, I think
That one's a personal one. I took that from my mom. My mom has recently found a man who she actually dated 40 years ago. They reconnected on
wow.
Facebook. But their first date was very not great. He only has a flip phone. They'd only been communicating on Facebook. And then they decided to meet at this place. And she arrives at the place. The place is closed. The guy, so she goes around the backside of it to the bar to wait to like contact him on her phone. He arrives, sees it's closed, and then leaves to go back home because he doesn't have a way to communicate with her. And so they didn't think to chain exchange numbers firsthand. And so my mom proceeds to just get wasted, and she's going off like, "Oh my God, I don't know, why would you do this?" Like, blah 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 blah. It's like, lady, he only has a flip phone. You guys should have just connected on a phone, like exchange phone numbers,
He
first
needs
of
to
all.
upgrade. He needs to upgrade for
But
sure. Wow.
again, he's 7 years old, but
Yeah.
they've moved past it. They've now been hanging out for quite a while now, so
That's good.
good for them.
Yeah.
Second one, they're old enough to be your son or daughter.
Oh, I have dated someone quite young. I guess you could call it dating. I have a lot of younger friends, but it doesn't ever go anywhere. I mean, it's fun for what it is, but and again, the connection of I tend to navigate toward younger people just because they have a younger attitude. A lot of people in my age range is like, oh my God, I just had my 41st-ish high school reunion. I went to
Oh my
Columbine High
gosh.
School. Yeah, and
Oh shit.
back when Jesus walked the earth, yeah. But I looked at some of the people. The first guy that walked up the steps for the reunion was walking with a cane, and I was like,
No.
oh my God. So anyway, I don't think it's never going to go anywhere. I mean, maybe a good friendship or something like that, but it is what it is, sort of thing. I don't see anything wrong with it, but I just think it's not long term potential.
It's not a flag at all. It's just kind of like, oh, here we are.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I do get a lot of younger men, that I don't know, contact me, but when I was on the sites, but you have to think about intellectually, just not even intellectual. I think it's just your history. Like I was in college, my first year of college was the first year MTV started. Let's just put that. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? And so yeah, we sat down there, and watched the first, videos. And so it's just a different generationally, I think there becomes an issue with, communication and things you do and things you don't do. And so
Right.
you have to be realistic about it.
Right. Number three, they keep a pair of women's shoes in their car just in case.
A man?
A man.
Oh. They keep a pair of women's shoes in their car just in case. For them,
Just in case.
It's funny. I knew a woman who was married to a guy who was a cross dresser, and she was so into helping him buy his stuff. It's kind of funny.
Hey, that's a good that's
I
kind of
know.
cute.
I think that'd probably be a red flag for me. I don't know. I like, manly men, but who knows? Yeah, that'd be a red flag for me. Just because of me. It's just me, though,
Number four, they have a large collection of rocks or gemstones.
I'm in Colorado. Everybody. I just bought literally a big thing of amethyst at this shop up in Aspen. My son and I were just up there. A large collection. Unless he was a geologist. I mean, honest to God, that's so common here in Colorado. I mean, everyone has some dumb rock on their mantle or something. So I guess it depends on what part of the country. That's not a red flag for me.
Okay, good. Last one, they only shop at Walmart for literally everything.
Oh, for everything?
For everything.
Yeah, that's a red flag. Although I have to tell you real quick, I dated a guy who had a horse, said he was going to meet me for dinner, was running late. Asked me if he could wear his barn clothes to dinner. And I was like, no, it's a fancy restaurant. He literally stopped by Walmart, bought a shirt, and he got to dinner and it still had the lines on it, for be it folded in the
Oh.
package. I thought, well, at least he tried, but Yeah, we didn't see each other again. But I mean, I shop at Walmart for some things, but not everything. Yeah, no.
Literally everything.
No.
No.
No, I'm kind of a snob, but that's okay. That's just me.
That's it. Catherine, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Where
can my listeners find you and your book?
Yes, and I will look up your books as well. I really appreciate you having me on. I hope we can stay connected because I'd love
absolutely.
To I think you definitely should write your book.
Absolutely, yeah. It's okay. It's half written. I've actually got two books on. They're posted as blog posts right now on my website. So
there you go.
Got to put them in a
copy and paste. Easy, copy, easy paste. Peasy.
Where can our listeners find you?
My website is CatherineBara.com, and my TikTok is Catherine with a C, Catherine R. Author. So that's where I am. And I'm on Instagram under Catherine_Barra. So, and that's CATHERINE. And my last name is B as in beautiful, ERRA. So
amazing. And again, you'll find all those links in the description down below on this episode. Catherine, thank you again for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Alrighty. Have a great day.
You too. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to leave a comment and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to help out the show. Check out the episode description for my guest social media links. And for more information on me, to read my blogs, The Deviant Diaries or A Deviant's Guide to Sex, or information about tarot readings, please visit DimitriWild.com. Stay deviant.
Remember, subscribing might not be worth it, but it's also not optional.